So, give or take 4,000 years ago, a 75 years old man heard the voice of his God. And he believed the message, so he left his home, his father's house, with his 65 years old wife, and traveled 600 miles. Okay, 500 miles to go to the land that was foreign to him. And 4,000 years later, there are about five religions in the world which is called major religions, like Buddhism, Hinduism, and Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. And three of these five are called Abrahamic religion. So, I just wonder sometimes, what would have happened if you said, no, I like it here. Would God have killed him? Or forced him? Just wonder. 4,000 years later, we're living in a world very civilized. Most part is really well civilized. And most religions, especially these five, are very well institutionalized. And rituals are very set. I'm wearing white robe, stole, altar, the way you are sitting. This is very similar setting in all Christian churches. I mean, there is some differences depending on, but if you enter into any Christian church sanctuary, the similarity is quite stunningly there. If you visit any Buddhist temple, they share their unique signature. Same is Islam and same is Judaism. And sometimes we even refuse to enter into personal relationship with God or something that's more creative because somehow we are compelled to listen to the tradition, the set, the institution, the theology. And reading this particular one this year, I wondered around. That was the first question. What would have happened if he said to God, no, I like it here. I'm too old. If you're 75 in his time and day, you could say that. But at the same time, it's just one man. One man. Do you think that they didn't have religion at the time? Some people, actually, in one of my ignorance growing up in Korean Presbyterian Church, I actually thought that there was no religion to these ancient people. You know, before Abraham was called, that was my understanding or knowledge. Like until when I was 19. As you probably, most of you know, they had a very well-developed system of religion, theology, worship, rituals, everything to all the details. And yet, this one man was called by his God, and that became this. Wow. Thinking another way, what was the reason for that? Was he the only one that could listen to the voice of the true God? If we were to say that, that would be a little too much. Or was he the only one God called to do that? Interesting, isn't it? Little historical background is that about the time he was called, We're not really sure which nation that Abraham really belongs to, but we assume that he's belonging to the ancient Sumerian Akkadian kingdom, which was about to be replaced by the Babylonians. The Babylonians are most likely from the tribe called Amorites. The name Amorite, according to the scholars, standing for people who dwell in the high places. Somehow they came down and they built their own city, and they grew very big and influential, and this time they were actually uniting all the city-states in ancient Mesopotamia and calling that kingdom as Babylonia. And their very city, Babylon, that means gate of gods.
Gate of God?
Yes. And in the Hebrew, it means confusion. So, think about it. It's exactly that time he moved, his family moved out of the capital city of the old kingdom, Ur, and moved to the Haran. And what also Babylonian kingdom was doing is they were replacing the existing pantheon of gods. You know, Babylonians are ruling now. Therefore, our god, their god, Marduk, has to be the head god of all gods. To us, it could be just ancient mythology. But if you're living in the time, think about it. Suddenly, gods could be replaced by human power. You know, that could have been really shocking experience. That could have given understanding and even acknowledgement, even enlightenment to some people that maybe these gods are not really real gods. Because a city rises up to the power that the god that city believes in becomes the highest god. And then the other city defeats that city and replaces it. So the council of gods changes depending on the human power. And that's kind of very moment that this particular man, Abraham, was called by his God. And in here it says he called the name of the Lord, but we don't know what name he called. So he believed God. Right? Abraham believed in God. We don't know which God it was. But that God appeared again and again and again and again. Interesting, isn't it? So two things I'd like to share with you today with this story. We could go on and on covering many different things. One, the quality of this person, Abraham. We don't really know how he really was. He's a very quiet guy, actually. If you read the Genesis, have you ever seen Abraham actually arguing back to God or saying no or talking a lot about his own opinion? None, somehow. God says, Abraham, do this. He does it. He doesn't even say, yes, Lord. He doesn't even bother to say that. He just does it. Like, God says, Abraham lives. God says, he does. Isn't that amazing in a way? But at the same time, isn't it somewhat dangerous in another way? So, the purity of his heart and union he might have had with his God is quite amazing. But at the same time, if you were to do something like that in this modern world, I can guarantee you'll be locked up. So, this Abraham, what was his quality? And two, in a more global way to the humanity, I believe God the Creator. And I've been wrestling with it, but now I don't really particularly want to believe God in one name or two, but just Creator. That's most comfortable for me. Creator created us. There's inner reality that kind of gave birth to us. And there is something that is somewhat enriching us, guiding us, nurturing us. And for what? That's kind of really key question in a way. For what? Why did God really create us? Why did God need humans? That goes to the question of what's the purpose of your life here? Wow, another big question. I'm throwing out questions. I'm not going to answer them. You know that. But essentially, you believe Creator is, and we are somehow made, created in the image and likeness of this Creator. Creator wanted to have relationship and, more likely also, wants to have something that is pure and genuine. What is really stunning about this God that Abraham experienced and all his descendants experiences, different from other religions of his time? One, this God never almost approved to be used by human to justify their desires. In a way of saying, this God smacks more on the people who follow this God versus bless and bless and bless, in a way. This God always calls for fairness, justice, sympathy, forgiveness, but ask humility. And this God essentially speaks that human happiness, fulfillment, totally depends on human relationship with this God. So we can talk about in terms of virtues and behaviors and nice things we can do, but in a very essence of your spirit, it comes down to two things. Do you have a God that you believe? I mean, your God. Do you have your God that you believe that is real for you? That's a very important question. Because a lot of times when people say, I believe in God, that's God they have been taught, they have heard about, or they somehow are compelled that I'm supposed to believe it. But do you have your God who is real to you so you believe? That's number one. Number two, what do you do with that? What do you do with that? If you have God you believe is real for you, talk to you, now what are you going to do with that? Been talking about kindness, humility, all that, but sometimes if you really want to simplify this, I guess this comes into one thing, which I'm not 100% successful either, but can I really manage my actions, my words, my emotions to the degree that I do not create anything negative in others, but nurture and foster positive? by means of me, nobody is getting hurt. But by means of me, people are nurtured. To me, God is life. Life nurtures. We are all images and likeness of God. We all are created to do that. But our ego, our selfishness, our emotions get on the way. And I confess again, I'm not able to do that 100%. I see my actions sometimes judging others, complaining about somebody else, pointing fingers to other people, saying it's not my fault, or it's not my thing to do, or I'm just tired. I want to ignore that now. It happens. All these things happen. But I also acknowledge that every single action, word I deliver in terms of relationship, it matters. It matters. It makes an impact, influence, not only on the person who's receiving it, but it comes back to me. Did you acknowledge that?
Yeah.
Whenever I do something not right, I'm not really sure, honestly, it's that heavy on that person, but it's really heavy in my heart. And to a degree, real truth is, I will never know what I actually have done to that person. I'll never know. But I know what returned to me. So, the call of Abraham, God calls you. And I'm pretty sure God's not calling you to save the world or eradicate hunger within 10 years, something like that. God's call starts with the small things, really small things. Like smile to your friend when your heart and emotion says you can't smile. Or be just gentle and listening to your spouse or your family members when your mind says you don't want to. It's not faking. Don't fake it. Don't pretend it. You acknowledge the problem, embrace the problem, yet overcome it and transcend that. And you will experience the power of God. And you might also experience this very sentence I really love is, I will bless you and make your name great, that you will be a blessing. And according to my teacher, George F. Dole, this will is not just a future. It's almost mandatory. Like, you shall be a blessing. It's a call from God to Abraham. It's not just about leave your land and possess the other land. You shall be a blessing to all people on earth. And I believe that's a call of God to us too. May God bless you all.